listening to Season 5 of the Devoted Dreamers podcast. Welcome, Dreamer. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Merit Ansa, and this is the podcast where we talk about our God-shaped dreams, the ones we're pursuing, hoping to pursue, or waiting on God to reveal. I don't know you yet, but I hope to, and my hope with this podcast is to help you move from uncertainty to action so that your life might sing, that it might sing praises to God for your good and His glory, because He made you for big things. But the more I talk with women about their dreams, the more I understand there's a battle within. Is it okay to be ambitious, to dream, to do something with our skills, gifts, and experiences? If you're struggling with this, don't listen to me. Go read God's word, specifically Ephesians 1, and let the God of the universe remind you that you were chosen for a purpose, in order that you might live for the praise of His glory. Sure, you might feel some fear, anxiety, insecurity walking forward in your dream, but don't let those things stop you. We all feel them to some extent, and you cannot let those feelings or the voices that tell you you have no business dreaming this dream, you cannot let them win, because you are a daughter of the King. And that's why we're having this conversation. I pray it's what you hear today in this episode. Thank you so much for joining in. As always, you'll find the show notes at meritansa.com/podcast. And please connect with me and the community of Devoted Dreamers in our Facebook group or over on Instagram at meritjo. And now, here's today's episode. Hello, Devoted Dreamer, and welcome back. This is episode 116. First, before I dig into it, I want to say thanks to every one of you who responded to my listener survey. This has helped me out so much, and I so appreciate that 5 minutes of your time to let me know your thoughts about the show. And if you've been listening to each of these solo episodes, I've got a confession. This is where my outline gets a little bit wonky. But sometimes, or a lot of the time, as we pursue our God-shaped dreams, sometimes you just have to wing it. So I might have said a little while ago that we were going to talk about fear in this month, in April. Yep, I think I might have even said that in one of my dream letters to you. So that means it's in writing. But that's not what we're talking about this month. Fear is next month. So instead, in April, on this fourth solo episode, we are talking about how your dream isn't really about you. But first, I want to tell you a little bit more about these solo episodes in case this is the first one you're listening to. So I've been planning, and so far so good, one solo episode per month until the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, I want to compile all of these into an audiobook so that if you did step in the middle, or maybe you showed up, in the 12th solo episode, that you can get the whole meat of this conversation. So if you haven't heard the first three, go back and listen to episodes 107, 110, and 113. And here's topically what those were about. The first one, 107, was you are a daughter of the Most High King. And then the second one, that because of that identity as a daughter of the King, that whose you are matters and that you have infinite value and worth. That's episode 110. And then the third solo episode I did was that God created you for a reason. That was that topic in episode 113. And that one got tremendous response. I've heard from so many of you about how much you really loved that episode on how God created you for a reason, and that there is purpose for your life, that you being here right now is no mistake. And I will tell you, I re-listened to that one again before I began working on this one, and the reminder of that truth gave me chills. To be chosen, to be known, it's what my heart and soul has always longed for. And to know that really fills this deep need in me. And so maybe it did that for you too. If not yet, go back and listen to it. So today, this one might feel slightly contradictory to that. So even though your dream consumes your thoughts and maybe your energy if you're in the thick of it, your dream isn't really about you. That's what we're talking about here today. So sure, It's possible that this is something that keeps you up at night, that you can't stop thinking about, that if you wake up in the middle of the night, it's like an hour before you can go back to bed because your mind is churning with all these thoughts. It's this topic that you have a burning desire to do something about, and it may feel like this thing is oozing from your pores and that you're ready to pour your whole heart into it if you're not already doing that, that you would give up time doing other things that you really care about, people that you really care about, in order to pursue this dream. This is not just a passion project or a hobby. If it's God-given, then what you feel about your dream is powerful and some days overwhelming. Am I right? But despite even what I might have thought when I began writing my outline for these episodes, your dream isn't about you. Okay, so if it's not about you, who is it about? What's the Sunday school answer? Jesus, right? Well, first, let's look at God's word. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. I'm taking this from the NIV, and this is where the Pharisees have gotten together, and there's an expert in the law who's testing Jesus, and it literally says that in the scripture. He says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And if you have been around church for any length of time, I am sure you've heard these verses. You might have even heard like the simplified version, "Love God, love people. That's what we're called to. Love him first, love others." So it begs the question, who's your neighbor? Who is your neighbor that you're going to need to love? Who are these people? And then kind of translating that into the language in which we're talking about here on the podcast, who will you serve with your dream? And to be honest, when I started out with my dream in like those very, very early days, I was thinking about what I was going to do, like what was going to be required of me. And in part, I was thinking about who I would serve, but that often got overshadowed by all the things that I thought I had to do to pursue my dream, to act on those things that I would think about and be left lying awake at night, pondering that it was about those things, that it was about my dream. And it kind of felt like it was about me. But serving ourselves is not what God calls us to. Again, this is some scripture from the book of Matthew. This is chapter 19, and it's the story of the rich young ruler who asks Jesus what good he must do to get eternal life. "Keep my commandments," is what Jesus says. And this young man says, "I've done that." And then Jesus says, "Then sell your possessions and give everything to the poor." And that guy is kind of like, "What?" And then Jesus says, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished to hear him talking about this. Jesus closes this conversation with an idea that flips what we know on its head, that flips our culture on its head. And that's that many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. That, you know, this whole life that we live, it's not about getting what we want, about doing what we want, about getting our own needs met, or even, dare I say, it's not about being, quote, used by God. Yes, he might choose to use us. If you have a God-shaped dream, there may be something that he's wanting to do with your willingness to serve him, his kingdom, and his people. And he does. I mean, I said it in this last solo episode that he values us so deeply. So please don't hear a contradiction from what I spoke about in that episode on our value and worth and being created for a reason. Yes, he gives us good gifts, and he allows us, desires for us to use those good gifts. And he'll also use our gaps, our areas of weakness as well, calling us into things that we have no clue and feel like we have no ability about. And if he's given you a dream, before it'll ever be about you, it'll be for his kingdom and for the good of others. want to break for a second and introduce you to a fellow dreamer and podcaster, my friend April McKinney of the podcast called 20,000 Words. I have loved getting to know April, and if you like my style and the style of this show, I think you'll really connect with hers as well. April is warm, honest, and her podcast is about the real and vulnerable parts of life. I just finished listening to episode 37, her interview with Morgan Cheek, talking about how life with her two special needs daughters didn't quite go as she planned when she was a young woman, and how God has used that part of Morgan's story to shape and grow her dreams and her faith. So if you're looking for encouraging stories of faith, you'll love hearing April's dream come to life through these interviews. I highly recommend 20,000 Words. Go check it out. I'll share some of my favorite episodes in the show notes and the show description in your app. Okay, now back to the show. Your dream for his kingdom might feel a little overwhelming at first. So we're going to start with that. We're going to start with the overwhelming part. There were three words that came to mind for me as I thought about what Jesus came for: redemption, renewal, and reconciliation. Don't you love the alliteration? But let's start there. So redemption, it's the clearing of a debt. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is the ESV, says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So we are redeemed, and Jesus paid the price. I went and looked at the dictionary definition of all these words just to have a little perspective, and it says the action of saving or being saved from sin, which, yeah, the dictionary said that about redemption. And then it said also the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. So I grew up in California, and this word redemption makes me think of the redemption value of cans and bottles in California. So you pay a little bit just for the right to use the can or the bottle. You pay that on the front end when you buy it. Then when you bring back that can or bottle to the store, used up, empty, you get your money back. So what's old and dead has a chance to get reborn, brought back, made whole again. You know, kind of a funny parallel, but Jesus gave his life in exchange for ours. And as a result, we are redeemed. He paid the price. He paid the redemption value. Our sin meant that we were dead, dead to him, dead for eternity. But the redemption of Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection made us new and whole again. So as this relates to your dream and his kingdom, ask yourself the question, how will the realization of your dream contribute to making broken and used up things whole again? Okay, the second word, renewal. I will make all things new. This is what came to mind to me with this word. And I'm looking specifically at verses in Titus 3:4-8. This is the ESV, which says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." We are renewed. So the dictionary definition of renewal is resuming an activity or being made spiritually new in the Holy Spirit. I'm always floored when the dictionary says stuff like that. But Jesus takes what was broken and tattered and dead, our lives, our souls, and he washes them with his blood, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and we are made new. And so what this brings to mind for me is this tiny little moment in the movie, The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you've seen this, but with Easter coming up, one of the things my husband and I have loved to do in the past, we don't do it as much with littles around, but we watch The Passion of the Christ on Good Friday because it is such an incredible reminder of what Jesus suffered and died on our behalf. So if you're listening to this the week before Easter, which it's the week before Easter, go watch The Passion of the Christ. So there's this little scene where Jesus is trudging through the streets carrying the very cross he will die on. And there's a bit of creative license taken here, but I find it to be so powerful. He trips, he falls to the ground, and his mother runs to him. And he looks her in the eye and in his anguish says, "See, Mother, I make all things new." And he lifts the cross and continues to make his way to Golgotha and his death. That's what he did for us. He suffered and died, that we would be made new, that everything that is broken and aching in us, that all the hurt, all the wounds, all the sin, that we would be made new. So as it relates to your dream, here's the question to ask yourself. How will the realization of your dream contribute to that which makes all things new? No, we aren't Jesus. I'm not saying we go die, and obviously we can't come back to life on our own. But I'm saying, what is it about your dream for his kingdom that's going to contribute to renewal in the world? Okay, word number three, reconciliation, which is to reunite what's been torn apart by sin. I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 in the ESV, and it says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." There you have it. We are reconciled. Now, the dictionary definition was interesting here. It said restoration of friendly relations. Okay. But oh my, in our faith, reconciliation is so much more than that, right? We were completely separated from God, apart, not able to come near, and therefore destined for destruction and death. But God, but Jesus, he made a way for us to be reconciled to God, that our sin wouldn't be counted against us, and that we would share this message of truth and hope and rebirth with the world, becoming ambassadors for Christ. So first, be reconciled. Second, represent him and this beautiful gift that he's given us to the world that is in such great need of reconciliation. So the question to ask yourself about your dream as it relates to his kingdom: how will the realization of your dream point to that which unites or reconciles what's been torn apart by sin? And I want to read what comes next in Titus, because I didn't know this was there, but I loved seeing this in his word. So this is verse 8. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Devote themselves to good works. Right. Because here we've been talking about your dream not being about you, but for his kingdom and for others, for his people. So let's talk about the good works that are excellent and profitable for people. If your dream is not for you, who is it? Who are the others that will receive the benefit of this dream God has given you? And here's a quick hint. If you can't think of anyone besides yourself, it's probably not a God-shaped dream. Doesn't mean it's terrible to pursue it, but that's probably more of a hobby or an interest of yours. But if you can think of someone besides yourself that your dream will serve, Who are the people, who are they, that are going to benefit from your investment of time and effort and likely your finances? And how will they benefit? And these are incredible questions, especially if you're still seeking and trying to figure out your dream. Consider using these as a litmus test as you weigh what's before you. I will put these in the show notes, but here are my questions. Am I making this dream about me? Who does my dream serve? How does it serve them? How will they benefit? How will the realization of my dream contribute to that which brings wholeness out of brokenness, which makes all things new, and which unites what's been torn apart by sin? That's a review of the kingdom-related questions. And then how is pursuing this dream a devotion of yourself, all that God's given you, to good works? Okay, so I'm going to pause here for a minute. What are you feeling right now after hearing this? And really, I'm going to give you a few seconds of silence. What are you feeling? Is it overwhelm? Are you feeling disconcerted? Are you confused? My prayer for you is that these questions provide clarity and freedom, because if your dream isn't really about you, but rather for the good of others and for God's kingdom, it also doesn't depend on you. It depends on Him. It's His work in you, not your white-knuckling to try to make something happen. And if you're one of those people who is struggling with fear related to taking the next step, I urge you to dig deeper into this topic, because the more you point to Him, the less it's about you. And I think the easier it gets when it's not about you, when it's not that there's something in you wrapped up in the success of this dream. And it does. It takes us back to episode 113, where, like Moses, we have to depend wholeheartedly on the Lord to do the thing. Because when it's about His kingdom and the good of others, it's a weight that we weren't meant to bear alone, that He's going to bear it for us. If He's called us to something that feels completely beyond us, and it's to serve His people and His kingdom, He is right there with you in it. And it also means we must be on our knees before Him, asking Jesus to intercede and give us the strength we need to move ahead. And if it's about those things, He's going to do it. If it's about His kingdom and others, He will. Okay, so I've prayed in every single one of these episodes, and I especially feel like I want to pray over you in this one, because some of this is hard, right? So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, and thank you for these reminders that if there is something burning in our heart, that it isn't really about us. It might feel like it belongs to us, but ultimately it belongs to you. And ultimately your care is for your kingdom and for your glory, that you would be made known to others, that your people would see you for who you are and love you and long to be near you. And those are the people that you also call us to serve. And so, as each woman is listening, I pray that you would meet her in this. If there's confusion or just like a deeper struggle bubbling up in her right now after having listened to this, Lord, I pray that you'd meet her in that and help her first to see you, to see your grace and the hope that's in you, to see how much you love her, and that this is not about works. It is not about what we can do for you. That's not what this is about. But Lord, that you see us as your daughters, that you love us with a deep tenderness and grace and mercy, and you know all the ways that we cannot measure up to the standards that we have for ourselves or the standards that we think the world has for us, and that you know our deep and great need for you. And so I pray that over these women today, that there would just be an assurance and a reassurance of your love for her. I pray you draw her close to you. I pray that if there is anything that she's wrestling with, or that I've said, or that has been gleaned from any of these episodes that really isn't from you, just take it away. Get rid of it. If it's not of you, get rid of it. And help her to hear your grace and your mercy, your love and your truth above it all. Lord, it does begin to feel weighty when we start to say, oh, okay, so if it's not about us and it's about you and your kingdom and your people and our neighbors and the people that you love that we encounter each and every day of our lives, how can we bear that weight? And you know that we can't. And so, Lord, would you help us to know our dependence on you? Would you help that woman who is sitting there feeling the weight of the world on her shoulders? Would you help her let that go and put that down and give it to you and trust that if you have given her a dream and that if it is for her kingdom, your kingdom, excuse me, if it is for your kingdom and your people, that you will carry it, that you will carry that burden and that you will make it clear, just how she might walk in that with you and not have to carry that burden herself, Lord. I pray for just sweet freedom for these dreamers, Lord. I pray that you give that to us as we pursue you and ask you all these questions, ask you to help us see what exactly you're calling us to and who you've called us to love in addition to you. I thank you, Lord, so much that you meet us in this and that we don't have to walk this road alone. God, you are good. You are faithful. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the life, the new rebirth, regeneration, renewal. Thank you for making all things new. And that even if we don't see that in the world today, which we don't often see that in the world today, that we can trust that it is with you in heaven for eternity. God, we love you and we worship you and we praise you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so just a couple more minutes here. I want to review what is coming up for the podcast. And next week, if you're listening to this in real time, next week, April 24th on Wednesday, there is no new episode as I have been taking off 1 week a month from interviews and episodes to work on my dream letter for subscribers. So if you are not on the list, you can do that today. I'll put the link in the show notes and in your app or in your episode description in your app. But the link is bit.ly/dreamletter, LTR. So you can be sure to get that exclusive content that I'm sharing only with subscribers. Again, go to the link bit.ly/dreamltr to subscribe. Okay, and then the week after that is the first Wednesday in May. May has to be my favorite month of the year. But the theme for the month, at last, is fear. And it's a topic that so many listeners say they relate to. If you're in my Facebook group and you answered one of those three questions about what's your greatest struggle, I would say 50 to 60, maybe even 70% of you have said fear is one of the things that keeps you from your God-shaped dream. So that is what I will be talking about in my solo episode at the end of May. But before then, I'm going to be sharing a couple more interviews. So that first Wednesday, I believe that's May 1st, is episode 117 with Laurel Smith. And she talks about motherhood alongside her dream. She has a business and she's been creating jewelry, I think, for about 10 years. And so she's going to share about finding the purpose for her dream 5 years after she began. So like at this point, halfway through what she's been doing. She talks about slowing down and mothering. She talks about focus, including what that looks like for her as a mom and a woman with limited time for her dream. So if you relate to that as a mom, please come back and listen to episode 117. And even if you're not a mom, I think there's some really great truths that you can glean from that conversation with Laurel. Plus, her jewelry is just really beautiful. And I can't wait for you to hear about her and have her talk to you about how that all got started. And then the week after, episode 118, get this, it's my birthday, May 8th, my 49th birthday. I'm bringing you into my conversation with Esther Littlefield, host of the Christian Woman Leadership Podcast. This is such a great conversation, and we definitely cover the topic of fear. As well, she talks about using your gifts in any season. She talks about taking a leap that you don't feel ready for, and then trusting God and his character to battle whatever anxiety comes your way. And what do you know? May has 5 Wednesdays, and I hadn't figured out what I was going to do in a month with 5 Wednesdays. So I have been thinking about doing a mini episode on that last week of the month. That would be the week, the Wednesday just following Memorial Day. And so I would just really love to hear from you. If you have thoughts on a topic that you'd like me to cover or a question you want me to answer, maybe this could be like a Q&A episode where just ask me a question and I'll, you know, freeform answer on this episode. Just DM me on Instagram or on Facebook, or you can send me an email. It's merit@meritonsa.com. That's merit@meritonsa.com. I'll put that in the show notes. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to provide you just a short, maybe 15, 20 minute episode on something that you'd like to hear about. Okay, that's all I have for today. So until then, wherever you are with your God-shaped dreams, whether you're figuring out if it's for God's kingdom, for his people, wherever you are in that journey of discerning that, I pray you find the courage to take one step toward the realization of your dreams today. See you next time.